toe, bouncing with that drop. KCP in the middle, bounce, Larry.
Get out of that double team.
With the head fake. What a move by Hakeem Olajuwon.
Levine, he goes right.
Oh! Does anybody know how to post videos?
Welcome back to episode 30 of the Drop Step Podcast, where we go around the world of the NBA. Home team Brandon Leak here with the College Football Hall of Famer, Super Bowl champion with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Georgia Tech all-time leading passer, and one of the greatest high school athletes in the history of South Carolina on a basketball court, Joe Hamilton.
Proud to be a utility guy.
Here with B-Dog, Brandon Harper, and Houston.
What's going on, y'all?
We want to say shout-out to the fine folks at Shaq Fu Radio and their fine support. Also, you can download the podcast in the iTunes store. This episode, we're going to get to the rookie class. They were asked. They answered. They wanted to know what they thought about their peers, and they gave their judgment, and we'll see if they are right, wrong, or indifferent. Royce White, he is, championing the opportunity to be the spokesperson, the mouthpiece, and maybe the hype man for Carmelo Anthony. Had some very strong opinions on what Carmelo Anthony should be doing and who should be doing stuff for him. And Dwight Howard might have a chance to be back in L.A., along with maybe some other players who want a second or third chance in the NBA. So, guys, we'll get right to it. Dwight Howard and the Lakers have mutual interests. It might be the case that D-12 could return to the Lakers. They lost a very big piece of what they thought their immediate future was going to be with Boogie Cousins going out with his ACL tear. What does this mean? My biggest question is, what does Dwight Howard have left? What kind of basketball will they play under Frank Vogel, and can Dwight Howard be a part of it? Because we really don't know what he was last year because he only appeared in 9 games.
Well, I'll say this, and because he only appeared in those 9 games, what we did see in those 9 games, and I think he averaged 19 and 12. So if he's averaging 19 and 12, now I know that's a small sample size and that's not much you can go off of, but I got to take that sample size and I have to apply it to if the Lakers do sign him and we place him in that role to fill the void of what Boogie has left. If I can get something like that out of Dwight, I'm not asking him to be the franchise-changing player. This isn't 2012. It's 7 years later. This is totally different Dwight Howard. This is a more expendable Dwight Howard. This is a man that's been on 4 teams in the last 4 seasons. If I can get something around that, all I need for him to do is rebound. I need him to play some defense, alter shots, and I need him to run the floor. I don't need him to come in and be all world and all changing. This isn't his team. He is not brought here to be the franchise guy.
Yeah, but even with that being said, the last time he's had a full season, he did have a 30-30 game in there as well. So, I mean, he's still capable of those all world changing type of games.
Right.
And still, a full season, he was still a double-double machine. I think that's pretty serviceable in today's NBA when you're really getting away from the big man anyways. All you need him for is to get you 10 rebounds and, you know, about 12 to 15 points. And Dwight Howard is very capable of that if you actually give him a shot. The question is, how is he going to be mentally? Is he going to actually sit here, really suit up, put on that purple and gold, and be what they need him to be? I think he still is a little bit immature at times. So we just got to see if he's really growing up.
But I think it also comes down to the point where if I'm Dwight and I put myself in his shoes, I got to ask, how many more opportunities am I going to get?
It's your last one.
Right. And my last one could come wearing the Lakers jersey a second time with LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Maybe I need to start getting my mind right as quickly as possible and realizing that I don't have a whole lot of other opportunities, A, to make money, and to B, possibly have a chance to win a championship.
Yeah, if he wins the championship, sure shot, first ballot Hall of Famer, no doubt. He's probably a first ballot Hall of Famer right now.
Yeah, he is.
And my biggest question, what I would ask right now, are we bringing Dwight Howard in to start? Is he going to be a role player off the bench? Will he accept the role player off the bench? I tell you this, though, I'm very, very proud of the way the Los Angeles Lakers is heading, is handling this. They're not going off a reputation.
Right.
It's easy to say, hey, come on in, let's sign Dwight Howard, no matter what he's doing or has been doing in the offseason. Is he healthy? Just going off this, you know, the report, the doctors has cleared him. No. You drive over here to Cali, let us put our eyes on you, carry you through some specific drills, see how you move around, and then we'll make that decision. That's what I love about this one. What? Because of, like, to your point, Houston, if he comes back and you get the Dwight Howard that you got 9 games last year and you got even a shell of himself that's willing to buy in and can shake off Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant's still in the building.
He is, but he ain't in the building.
And he still has an influence down the road, and he remembers what Kobe Bryant and that. That hasn't changed, has it, for L.A.?
What's that?
The expectations. What Kobe was trying to get Dwight Howard to buy into.
It hasn't changed, but the person who's trying to convey that message isn't the same person.
That's correct.
It's not the mama mentality. Now you've got, you know, LeBron James calling the shots, so maybe it'll be easier received coming from LeBron than having that mental mentality that Kobe had. That was just a little bit harsh. Not many people could handle Kobe. Not many people could handle Jordan, but people can somehow handle LeBron. He's a little bit softer than them.
Can he put the clownish acts on the back burner for a year, nope. 82 games? That's my biggest question.
I'll say this. He doesn't have much of, everybody has a choice, but there's a consequences for the choices that you make. And we know that for everybody, whether that be good or bad. He may not, but he's going to realize that you're a lot more expendable than what you were in 2012. Snip, snip, we can cut you. And move on about our day, because it'll be a one-year deal. It's not going to be a long-term deal. So the Lakers are more liable to cut you and try to go in another direction than to sit there and deal with your antics like they probably would have 7-8 years ago.
Real quick, it was crazy. We were at the Uno tournament, Ken Bazemore's Uno tournament, and so Dwight was there. And at the end of it, Ken was giving his little thank yous and stuff, and he mentioned Dwight and made the comment of, you know, hey, Dwight, love you, bro, but we good over here, talking about it, Portland. Dwight going to have that realization that, hey, man, not too many people are going to be looking out for me or trying to get me to come on board because they're good already. We don't need you. So, like we said before, this might really be his last shot.
This is his fourth team. Well, this will be his fifth team in the last 5 years if he does get with the Lakers. If you go back the last 4 years, he's been a Wizard, he's been a Hornet, he's been a Hawk, and he's been a Rocket. So 5 different spots. 5 different types of organizations, 5 different arcs those teams are on, 4 different styles of play. When you talk about pace, you know, he didn't work out here in Atlanta because there were things he could not do defensively because of the way the game is played now. You have to wonder, what are the Lakers are going to do? Now, I think the Lakers are going to try to pound people inside, this whole run and gun and spacing it out and getting the shots up. I'm not sure if that's the Lakers style when you have LeBron, AD, maybe Dwight Howard. Maybe they are the outlier in that they'll be the team that'll be a half-court team that just mashes you, rebounds you, gets a lot of putbacks, and just does a lot of damage in the second half of games in the paint.
Well, I think they could also probably do a combination of both, because you don't go out and get the level of shooters that you did if you don't plan on spacing the floor. That you end up going into this offseason getting what you didn't have last year. You were one of the worst shooting teams. I think you were probably last in the league in three-point percentage.
Terrible.
So you go out and get Danny Green. You go out and get what's my guy's name from the Warriors? Quinn Cook.
You got Jared Dudley. He can shoot threes.
You get Jared Dudley, who can shoot. You go out and get Troy Daniels.
But like you said, they're even looking at Mo Spates
and possibly Joakim Noah. Those are other guys that they're working out as well.
Well, Mo Spates, I'm saying as far as the shooting aspect, step outside and still throw up a couple.
Right, because so. Lord knows, one thing about Dwight that they don't need, you remember he was trying to go on his little, hey, I can diversify my game now. Hey, I can step out and shoot. We don't need that. And when you start going on that type of BS annex, you will be out of the door.
He should be used to this right now. Home team just mentioned the last 4 teams he's been with, and none of those teams were asking him to come in to be the man. All right, so the L.A. Lakers are not going to come in, ask him to come in and be the man. Matter of fact, that's the 4th guy, right? Right. Yeah. Anybody put Kuzma ahead of him as far as go-to?
Yes.
So now he's only asking – oh, the Lakers are only asking you to really hustle. Rebound is hustle. Defense is hustle. Loose balls, that's hustle. Put back is hustle. All we're asking you to come in, give us 18 to 20 minutes of hustle.
I don't even know.
And we'll be satisfied.
Asking him to do more than hustle, rebound. He's going to walk in. He walks in the building, he's going to get you 8-9 rebounds. He's walking in. Hustle, rebound, and block a shot to half a game and go sit down.
And
that's
if I'm
pretty much it.
And if I'm Dwight, I got – look, I'm not – I'm not only getting one more opportunity, I got to come in extra motivated because I'm getting another opportunity with the team, with the story franchise that this is my second go round with. Now, I know Kobe's not in the building, that same team's not around, but you got a lot of Laker Nation who feel a certain type of way about you anyway. The best thing that you could do is come in and work your hardest, practice, get better, and do everything that the Lakers need you to do to try to win over some of that fan base.
Oh, he's going to have to.
Right.
Like, there's not even a if or anything, he has to do that because everybody knows the Laker brand. Yeah, y'all aren't forgiving. Y'all aren't that very forgiving. And everywhere I go, if it's somebody who's been a Laker fan, they don't like this decision because of what he did the first time around. So, like, you seem to be a little bit more open to it than most Laker fans that I know. They're like, oh, no, bury him.
Well, I'm a little more objective than most Laker fans, but I will say this to Laker Nation. Put your hatred, put the jokes, and put whatever you feel about him from 7-8 years ago to the side. If the man can come in and rebound, run the floor, alter, and block shots and play defense, I am perfectly fine with this. You got to put that stuff aside for the greater good of the franchise.
Is he better than JaVale McGee as far as a starter? Ooh. And not only that, you guys will know, and I would like to hear you guys' opinion on this, is Dwight Howard still that type of athlete, that basketball player that you can run your offense through? Can he get a bucket for you at this age on the low blocks? I'm not saying he's ahead of LeBron James or Anthony Davis. Just if he happened to be on the second unit, Rondo or whoever, Quinn is on the floor, can you throw it down there and kind of like run the offense and he can be able to do some guy on single coverage and get him a basket? That jump hook, that left-handed jump hook, up and under dunk, can he still do that?
Yeah. I think he's doing more of that than JaVale's doing for you.
Well, no, but not comparing that, but just can does he still have that to offer for you?
I think he does.
Or to you?
In the minimum sense of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, in the minimum sense, yes,
okay.
I believe so.
He is – okay, let's look at somebody that's a lot younger, but his game is kind of like that. Let's look at Clint Capella. Whereas he's a pick-and-roll guy, Dwight Howard can still roll to the basket,
throw
get the alley,
there.
And go get it. And we can throw it down there to the block to him a couple of times because he's just not completely – it's not like he doesn't have a post move. He doesn't have the best footwork of all the big men that you think about in NBA history. That's, when you think of footwork, you're not thinking him, but he can put the ball on the floor every so now and then and go get a bucket. It's not something that you go to on a regular basis for him, but he can do it.
Moving on, speaking of the Lakers, a Laker has been called out. A Laker has been challenged, and a Laker has not responded, and I think that's the right thing for him to do. LeBron James. Royce White, out on social media, defending Carmelo Anthony, and said that it's time for LeBron James, who's supposed to be the face of the NBA, to speak out on behalf of Carmelo Anthony. Look, I say the feelings about Melo on either side are strong. This guy is not getting a fair shake. People know he can still play, and there are other factors that are preventing him from signing with the team. The other side, he's over the hill. Bruh, everybody stops playing basketball one day. This might be your time. Whatever side you stand on, emotions run high. I'm not going to say he called LeBron James a sellout, but he basically said, when he used the word, your banana boat buddy.
You're a sellout.
You're not speaking out for him. We could kind of gain some insight to where Royce White was going. One, this is not Carmelo's fault, so I'm not putting this on Melo. This is somebody else talking and bringing Melo up, and Melo is not being a part
That's
of this.
That's before you get hot-headed, Joe.
The question is, is there merit to what he's saying, and is he just saying things that a lot of people aren't saying? I don't think LeBron James is in charge of the salary cap, signing contracts, or roster moves for the Los Angeles Lakers, even if he is the face of the Lakers and of the NBA.
Go ahead, Joe. I'm going to let you take this one.
Carmelo Anthony is out of this one, all right? And what Royce White is saying, that every other team in the NBA, player in the NBA, knows that Carmelo Anthony has something to offer. Yes, that's correct. How will he fit in? How will he fit in? It's the only question. And let's go forward for the Carmelo Anthony that's after he talked to Stephen A. Smith. So he Carmelo Anthony, will he humble himself to do what Dwight Howard and Joakim Noah is doing? Be able to be called in and work on his game. Let us see you. Let us see. Put our eyes on you in our gym. Let us sit down after you put our. We put our eyes on you in the gym and sit down for an hour in our office talking about your role. That's where Carmelo Anthony's at now. So what Royce White did to him now is put his name almost in a negative light now, because now Royce White is speaking for you.
He should have never said nothing. He should have kept Carmelo.
Because he didn't help him.
He didn't help the situation.
Yes, sir. I totally agree with you.
He did not help the situation at all.
He also was very disrespectful, I thought, to Jared Dudley. You're going to let Jared Dudley get signed as if LeBron James has anything to do with that. The other side of it is Jared Dudley has a skill set in the NBA that obviously the Lakers and other teams want. He can come off the bench and he can knock down some three-pointers, which is, to your point, B-Dog, what the Lakers are looking to improve upon from last year. So it's a little disrespectful for somebody out of the league to basically say that a guy in the league who has been a pro, who has moved from city to city, and has the ability to want to be wanted by those that make the decisions, that's a little disrespectful for Royce White to make those comments about Jared Dudley.
Every time we hear a new person speak up about Melo, regardless of who it is, every time I hear it, I shake my head. I say that I hate it had to be him. Because it just seems as though you have so many people vouching for you. You got so many people going to bat for you. You have so many people, speaking your name. And some people are much more valid in their thoughts and what they say. Other people, when the last time we heard from Royce White before today or before whenever he did that video?
Watching the Big Three games. What you talking about, man?
I mean, true. But, outside of that, in NBA world, when is the last time we heard from Royce White?
Ooh. Outside 2012.
Of the Big 12. Like, who?
Right. Outside. Well, he went to Iowa State, right? Yes, he went to Iowa State.
He was 1 year at Iowa State. He was at Minnesota. That didn't work out. Ended up transferring. He had some stuff off the court in Minnesota. I don't want to get into the man. He paid his penance. He pled guilty to taking the clothes at the mall for $100. But he had some stuff transferred. And then got to the NBA and then had problems with the Houston Rockets. 2012, we as a country were in a different place with mental health than we are now. But he was not able to come to work, play basketball, and go home. Ultimately, that's why he had to part ways with the Rockets and the NBA.
Okay.
He didn't want to go on any away games because he wasn't willing to fly.
He didn't want to get on planes.
Well, that's a problem.
That's a problem. Big problem. And sometimes a health issue may prevent you from working.
Because there's 41 of those.
Way to toe the line, home team. Way to toe the line.
Try not to get protested against.
I'm just saying that a future Hall of Famer, we've just talked about Dwight, who is a future Hall of Famer. Now we're talking about another Melo. I agree with Book and what he said, the last time you were on the show with us. Melo kind of has done this to himself because I think he did one thing very well. Matter of fact, he did one thing so great. He's one of the greatest people in NBA history to ever do it, and that's score. I just think there are other aspects of his game that I think Melo should have worked on at a certain point of time in his career that could have preserved his career a little more down the line. Because with Houston, he was there, but he wasn't knocking down enough shots for you to keep him there. So if you're not doing the very thing that made you so great and you're not doing it at a certain level that kind of makes up for everything that you don't, there's an issue.
He played 10 games. He didn't make enough shots in 10 games that you cut him.
How many
Houston.
Touches did he get in 10 games?
He played 10 games. He didn't even play a quarter of the season. Bro, give the man a shot. I'm sorry. He dug himself a hole because he don't play defense. That's half the league right now. You still going to tell me that he's not to be on anybody's roster? I'm sorry. Y'all had that conversation. I wasn't here for it, so I might be venting a lot of stuff from weeks ago.
You can vent. No, Houston, you can vent. However, though, I know you watch all the games, and a lot of games, you don't dissect it like the coaching. When you look at what he's averaging his shooting and his percentage, yeah, that's just the aspect of it. Was he in help defense mode? Was he rebounding? Was he hustling? Was he disgruntled? How was he doing the other things that they probably was looking for Melo to bring, not just shooting? Because if he's just bringing the shooting part of it, what can Melo do?
But if we're going off of what everybody's been saying this whole time, Melo has been Melo. He ain't worked on nothing, and all he's been is a shooter. Then far be it for me to blame the team that picked him up in year 15 that still wants you to do something different than what you've been doing the last 14 years.
Well, that's what
years.
You're going to have to do, Houston.
It's not,
you're
going
to have to change.
You see it in the league. There are plenty of players that don't.
The reason why this man is not picked up because this man is not willing to transform.
But the other thing is,
they need him to transform.
He doesn't score like he used to either. He's going from 22, 16.
Don't score at the same levels.
You're in decline.
So you need to transform.
Yes.
That's it.
Hold on.
You need to revamp your game.
Kobe always said, I remember Kobe said this one time. He said, look, I know I'm not always going to be athletic. I'm not going to be able to dunk at 30 like I was at 23. So what do? I work on my footwork in the paint. I know what my spots are so I can preserve my career down the line. That's the difference between some great players and other great players. Understanding I may not be able to do certain things for a long period of time. So let me work on other aspects of my game that can keep my career going longer so I can stay in the league longer. That's a great mindset.
That's a great mindset, and here you go there now, B-Dog. Here you go. And I'm willing to say, and that's what I've been saying, can he do that now? You're saying it's too late. I'm not saying it's too late for him to do exactly what you're asking him to do, revamp his game. He's an athlete, right? Would you consider him a world-class athlete to be able to play in the NBA?
Yeah.
So he should be able to adjust and work on something else. I mean, he's not old in really, really athletic terms.
So yeah, he's never been the most athletic.
So right. Then back to your point, we got to go off of what is the latest statement from Carmelo Anthony, not Royce White or LeBron James or anybody else. The latest thing that we know from him was in that Stephen A. conference where he said he's willing to do whatever it takes.
Now you're my brother from another mother, yes.
Okay, so based off of that, if we're going to look at him, and since the name was thrown out there of Jared Dudley, who are you taking?
Well, I'm taking Jared Dudley right now. Because I don't know. I still got to bring this guy in. I got to see him face-to-face outside of Stephen A. Smith.
In that same interview, he was saying that he's having talks and he's working
on
doing stuff
to
with
do
teams.
That. That's good. He's willing. Yeah, he's willing to do that. Yeah,
but
to B-Dog's point
he's
now.
He's willing to do now. Was he not willing to do that when he was in OKC? Was he not willing to do that in those past places?
He could have masked it then.
How we know he can't mask?
He was scoring. That's what I'm saying. Because he was scoring and you was getting scoring from him, but now you're not getting scoring from him. You're going to have to do something else. I present this to you guys. Royce White sat there and he said something to LeBron James and he's big and bad and he's the face of the NBA. Hypothetically, if LeBron James really wanted Carmelo Anthony, do you think he has that much clout in the Lakers organization that Carmelo Anthony would have been a Laker?
No.
If LeBron James wanted him.
They could push for him.
His
word would have some weight.
And what do you think? Would it result in them signing him,
Necessarily. That much weight?
And I say not necessarily because it ultimately, for me, comes back down to everybody keeps making this about Melo. Can Melo score? He said he was sorry. He said he was going to be a different Melo. Melo said. Melo deserves. This ain't about Melo. It's about do the Lakers think he would help them win a title? Who's better, Jared Dudley or Carmelo Anthony? Carmelo Anthony has been a free agent. They didn't go and get Carmelo Anthony. He can make some three-pointers, too. They went and chose Jared Dudley. So I agree LeBron James would have some weight. Certainly might, get him a closer. Maybe his workout session would only have to be 10 minutes instead of 40. I don't know. But what I do know is, once again, player X, who is considered a lesser player, whether it be Vince Carter or Jared Dudley, they are signed, they are wanted, they are NBA players, and Carmelo Anthony is not.
I mean, that's really just what it is. And what I like to see him play, absolutely. But I think there are certain things I think a player, you got to have some level of foresight when it comes to your career. And you have to have it early enough to where you're able to work on these things and you're in the mindset of working on these things. Because when you're doing a certain thing for so long and then somebody says you got to switch up, your mindset is, well, why I got to switch up now? I've been doing this for so long and it's worked out. Okay, well, you're out of a job now. And the reason why you're out of a job now is possibly because some of those things that you needed to work on in year 7 or 8, now you in year 15, 16, you don't have a mindset to want to work on that now. That's just like, come on now. We can take this to any other profession. Somebody been doing something for so long, the likelihood of them changing and turning things around are slimmer than none the deeper and deeper they get into something, especially if they've been doing it one way.
To that point, also, when you're out, you'll say anything to get in.
Exactly.
If I'm not running the board for this podcast and they say you're out, you know what? I'll run the board. I'll stay and cut the lights off. I want to be a part of the drop step pod. You'll say whatever you want to say when you're out.
Right.
When even though your behavior before hasn't dictated that's what you do. I don't want to write him off. I would like to see him. What I really would like is to see him have one more shot with one more team so he can get his farewell tour, whatever that looks like, whatever it means, even if it's only New York,
I'm with
that
it.
Gives him a video tribute so he can get one last dose of respect for what he's given and what he's done in the NBA for 16 years.
I'm with it.
Lastly, the NBA rookies have spoken. They were part of a survey, and they answered questions that were asked of them about their peers. And one of the questions of the members of the 2019 rookie class, which player did they feel would have the best NBA career? I think, without asking, and asking a straw poll of people not in the NBA, most people would right off the rip say Zion Williamson. It was Cam Reddish.
My dog.
Selected by the Atlanta Hawks.
My dog.
Who got 19% of the vote. Zion was not even second or third. So does that mean they're hating on him? Does that mean they just want to give another guy some hype? Does that mean, you know, these guys play with one another in all these camps? They know each other. They've seen each other around certain settings. They played against each other in college. So is there some merit to what the NBA rookie class of 2019 had to say?
Oh, there's some merit. Why? Because a lot of these guys have gone up. There was a clip on Bleacher Report, and they asked a lot of these high school guys who were going through a lot of these circuits and things where a lot of scouts was at. They said, well, who was the toughest guy to go against? Not one, not two, but all of them said, without a doubt, oh, it was Cam Reddish. You had guys coming from the back. Oh, he gave me 40. He was the toughest person for me to ever have to deal with because of everything that he could do on the floor.
His game is so more unpredictable than Zion.
Oh, yeah. But I think a lot of that goes, and people talk about his mentality because they said a couple of games at Duke he checked out. Coach K had to really push him to go in there, and then they saw he was fine. There was nothing was wrong with him. So a lot of people question his mentality. But as far as the skill set, the man can ball. The man has, and I think that's why he dropped down to 10, because a lot of people said, well, he was third in line behind Zion and RJ. And then some people say, well, you know, we question his mental makeup. Well, was he hurt? Was he healthy? We don't know what he was. And that's why he dropped to 10th. But that skill set is undeniable. And I always said that skill set translates to the league because he's lengthy. He can play defense on the wing. He can shoot the ball. He can put the ball on the floor. And if you know, those are the type of things, if you can do that at a high level, you're going to have a long, sustainable career in this league.
The thing about Zion getting 5%, he was tied for fourth, but he was tied for fourth with four other players.
Right.
So it was Zion Williamson, Kobe White, Jackson Hayes, and R.J. Barrett.
Yep.
Ahead of them were Ja Morant second and DeAndre Hunter.
So
another
Hawks.
Atlanta
so
Hawks.
Two Hawks
at number three. So I thought those were interesting things. The second layer of this is that CBS reported that NBA scouts also were asked about this survey and backed up what the rookies had to say.
Now, so here, just a question that came to my mind. Would that be more based off of the talent of the players or based off of the talent that the players are now teamed up with? It kind of feels like, okay, you're giving Cam and DeAndre a notch because – look who they have passing them the ball right now. Their careers have got to be good if they stick around with Trae Young. In my opinion, you got somebody who's able to get you the ball like that and you're able to shoot it from wherever. Yeah, to me, your career is going to be better. With Zion, you having to be the leader of a team, there's room for the failures, and that's going to be all on you. Cam's not going to get that type of pressure. Neither is Dre. They're not going to get that pressure. That's going to fall on Trae Young.
Well, that may be the case, but I also think it is because of certain skill sets that they think these guys, I don't want to say have mastered, but are really, 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 really good at. Like DeAndre Hunter, we all know that he takes pride in his defense.
Right.
His
I mean, defense, you gotta have your own skill set, but still, like, you could take a DeAndre Hunter and put him, let it be switched up, and now you got Hunter over here in New Orleans or, you know, any place else that he doesn't necessarily have an up-and-coming type of point guard who's able to facilitate the ball to him.
But don't they still have, what's his name over there, point guard? In Holiday still over there? Holiday is a pretty good point guard. He's not top echelon, but he's
good,
no rookie.
Pretty good, but Trae Young is – they compare Trae Young to Steph Curry, whereas Holiday.
Right. I mean, but he's still a guy that can he's still a guy that can get the ball and distribute it out to other guys. But he did well with Boogie and AD there.
Like I said, I'm just saying for the simple fact of I think part of it when you're talking about a team sport, yeah, my game is up to this type of level, but it also is impacted by the players that are around me as well.
Yeah, I think those players saw it as 11, 12 years in that first five in. You ask anybody really in the first five when you seen Zion Williamson still able to jump through the roof that his skill set is not going to be dwindling yet. He wouldn't have to work on a secondary game yet until his athleticism go a little bit. Mm-hmm. Now, those guys, they have different skills, two-way players. And I know Zion Williamson don't get enough credit for being a two-way player. What was his block average? 1.9? He was blocking, playing defense as well, steals in the passing lane. But when you look at it, is in my opinion, it's the ceiling. Mm. You know, it's the ceiling. What's Zion Williamson's ceiling going forward at 6'7", 260 in the NBA at year 10? And you look at Ja Morant, you look at Cam Reddish, right, and those guys that can pretty much develop, still go by you, still shoot, and transform their game, they probably be looking at it that way. And for these scouts home team, I'm telling you, man, they're trying to make me fall for the banana in the tailpipe.
What do you mean?
Well, why not draft those guys they're talking about ahead of Zion Williamson, number one?
But I think that there are other factors. There was only one team drafting number one.
Well, we can hypothetically speaking, who do you think if the New York Knicks would have gotten number one?
Oh, they'd have taken Zion.
They would have taken Zion Williamson.
So who do you think the Memphis Grizzlies would have drafted?
They would have taken – that's a good question. Who would you rather have,
because
Zion
they needed
Williamson
a point
or
guard.
Ja Morant?
They need a point guard.
Right, that's a good question. And that's what I'm saying. Well, yeah, the Pelicans – maybe the Pelican scouts don't agree. They better not agree if they've just, you know, drafted Zion Williamson number one. They better think Zion Williamson is going to be the best player. But that's them. I think that – you know, there's always a gamble. You could go through the annals of history in the NBA draft. You know, for every guy picked number one, you can find two guys that turned out and they were just flat out busts.
But not this clear-cut home team. This was a done deal when those guys had 20 more games left at Duke. It was a done deal saying Zion Williamson was going to be the number one pick. Yeah. This wasn't one of those things where we go into Chicago in the workout and seeing what these guys would develop to be, they had locked this in.
Well, yes. I don't think if you're gonna pick number one, and all picks are a gamble, even number one, if you're gonna gamble and crap out and lose, say he turns out and he's injury prone or he only has a ceiling that's not as high, you still took the guy who you thought could be a generational, once in a generation player.
Because also, not only because of him potentially being a once in a generational type of player, but it's the excitement. It's the hype. You go down to New Orleans. Now
highlights.
People are checking for New Orleans Pelican basketball.
I just don't see the difference, guys. Correct me if I'm wrong. We can debate this. 1 through 5 is a gamble to me. Same gamble.
Right.
Right.
Top 5 is the same gamble to me. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 is the same deal. Now, I didn't see anybody chomping at the bit to go and trade up to get Zion Williamson. That's alarming.
I don't think it depends on what you have to give up to get it.
There was nothing to talk about.
If it's a sure shot like that, you move up. The Hawks, get rid of two. You got two picks, go get him.
Zion Williams is a sure shot to me at one thing, and that's at selling tickets. He is a highlight reel, and that's what got him 20 games still left in the Duke season, everybody saying he's the number one pick. He had all the highlights in the world that made you just awe at the TV.
He had a hype machine behind
him
coming out of high school that Cam Reddish and R.J. Barrett didn't have.
And R.J. was the number one guy in the class.
So when I have the number one pick and I'm already having to get rid of a disgruntled Anthony Davis who was supposed to be the star of my franchise for his career, I need to go fill up some I need to get some tickets sold here in New Orleans because we're not that type of franchise that's just going to be able to just stay afloat without having real star power here. I got to go get the guy who is actually on ESPN every night that they're talking about. He's got a top 10 play every night.
Look, everybody who was a bad team up near the front wanted Zion Williamson just for, one, the potential and for the hype machine. You're going to sell tickets. You're going to make money.
According to these scouts' home team, though, that's not the case.
Well,
everybody should have wanted somebody else.
Well, according to the players, they agree with Travis Schlink because he's got his only two first-round picks are the two of the guys that the NBA rookies say are going to have the best career. We can't make the assumption that every single scout or every single team was just going to be on the Zion train. We'll never know this until we're all gray in the beard and a lot of these executives are out of the league maybe 15, 20 years from now. What was really going on in the draft room the night Zion Williamson was on the board?
Hey, man, the Pelicans didn't work out anybody else.
Oh, they knew. They knew who they were going to get, and they knew exactly who they wanted. Because they knew once it came around, and once they said, look, with the number one pick in the 2019 NBA draft, the New Orleans Pelicans select Zion Williamson, the money started. Cha-ching,
take me back, B-Dog. Take me back to the draft lottery with the balls and seeing the percentage of who's going to have the number one pick. Wasn't that called the Zion Watch?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that was for whoever got it.
Right, it
so
was.
So now we're coming out to say some of these scouts, and that's the thing about it. GMs, they're a little different from scouts. The scouts have seen you dribble. The scouts have seen you way more than anybody else. So they're saying it. They must have seen some deficiencies in this game somewhere down the line. But for you to tell me everybody that would have gotten the number one pick on the Zion Williamson's watch, I dare anybody to say, any GM to say in their right mind, oh, we would have still taken whoever, Ja Morant, RJ Barrett, Jackson Hayes. Now, Jackson Hayes is my vote.
Yeah,
12 years in, 1 year in college, his parents' pedigree as far as being athletes, the way this guy ran the floor up and down in summer league, and being enthusiastic, and he's a prototypical, in my opinion, 2019 and going forward, big man in this league. Guard 1-5, pick and pop, alley-oop guy, energy running the floor. He wouldn't take bad shots, but he'll get his shots off, maybe develop a jump hook. That's the guy
that
I'm looking at.
That is true. And I
that
think
could be a steal. Now, not a number one pick overall. He wouldn't work. He didn't warrant that. But of being a steal, I like Jackson Hayes.
And I think he'll be, you know, he'll have a long and prosperous career just because of everything that you just named. But you know the name of the game in this league. It's about lengthy wing defenders.
Yeah,
it's about
right.
guys who are slashers, guys who can step back and hit shots, guys who create their own shot, and guys who can get to the basket. And that's exactly what a guy like Cam is. That's what RJ is. That's what a lot of people are hoping Zion, to an extent, can be.
Not only was DeAndre Hunter listed high to have the best career, he was third, he was second to be the best defender from the rookies. Goodness. Well, it looks like Travis Link, his decisions are well appreciated by the rookie class here of 2019. Some of the other parts of the survey, the rookie that was the biggest steal, rookie said that Bol Bol going to Denver and Kevin Porter Jr. going to Cleveland, they tied for number one as the biggest steal in the NBA draft.
Guys, what constitutes a good defender in you guys' opinion? This might all be different in four guys. Is it steals? Is it rebounds? Is it one-on-one defending? Is it help defending? Is it block shots?
It is.
What could it constitute of it? Because the last 5 years, we can go back to the last 5 years of defensive MVPs, there have been mixed bags. Tyson Chandler, Mark Gasol, Draymond Green, Kawhi Leonard. Now, when you're talking about Draymond Green, he did it all. Kawhi Leonard was just going to guard your small forward, and he was going to lock him down.
I think.
Or maybe two guy and lock it down. So it's a little different. Double-double. Dwight Howard got it a few times because block shots and double-digit rebounds. What is it? What do you want to see DeAndre Hunter be? One-on-one? Help defender? What do you want him to be as far as that all-elite defender?
Well, I think it's three things, and I think all of them are kind of encompassed into one. You know, will, determination, and want to. Defense is nothing but effort. To be able to want to stay in front of your man.
I disagree with that a little bit.
Really?
Yeah, because there is no way in Hades.
No, I understand that.
In Hades that with all those three things you mentioned, and I agree with that, that Trae Young can turn into an elite defender.
Right.
Well, unfortunately with Trae Young is at a disadvantage because of the size.
That's what I mean. That's what I'm saying.
Historically, the defensive player of the year in the NBA is a center. Historically. Dwight Howard, Ben Wallace. Rudy Gobert. Historically, if you look at the list of guys that win, Tyson Chandler, Mark Gasol,
it's usually the guy,
Lonzo Mourning, the guy defending at the rim and altering important shots throughout the course of the season.
It's changed a little bit with the ball movement in space, though. That's when you saw the change start to happen.
Well, Kawhi and Draymond, and Draymond's kind of just unique in and of itself because what is he? Sometimes he's the center, sometimes he's power forward, sometimes he's point forward. You know, Draymond's a little different, but historically, most defensive players of the year have been a center.
Home team and Joe, let's go to the only point guard to win defensive player of the year. Let's go to Gary Payton. What made him so great on the defensive end for him to be the only or the last point guard to win Defensive Player of the Year.
Picking you up 90 feet, disrupting your offense.
Steals.
By the time you get down to where you want to really call motion or flex down as an opponent, you got 10 seconds left on that shot clock.
But he locked down.
Yeah, because he's going to make you do that reverse dribble from the free throw line down there all the way down. Your back better be turned to him while you're calling the defense blindly. Calling the offense blindly. He impacted the game tremendously from that spot.
And a lot of that comes from just sheer desire and sheer will. The man in front of me, you don't want to see me.
Yeah, but he had to be.
No, you gotta have the feet. I get
to
take.
You gotta be quick enough to still stay in front of guys like that. Because I could jump out there and half court all day.
You can work on. You can do drills to work on your footwork. But that goes into the will and the determination. Some guys think, okay, I'm athletic enough and that's cool. But your athleticism wears off. You're working on your technique and working on your defensive stance. That takes will, determination. Blocking shots takes will and determination. Altering shots takes, like, doing these things, yes, a lot of them has to do with height. But staying in front of your man, you can work on that. You can move your feet.
Yeah, but you can't always make yourself quicker, though. Like, just real talk. You're not going to always, okay, I could sit there in the gym all day and be working on it, but when AI gets in front of me, and I try to go pick him up at half court, I can still get burnt either way.
Michael Jordan's one of the greatest defensive, not just guards, but players in the league history. But he even got done up by AI. But Mike also worked on every aspect of his game.
So if you ask for what makes a great defender, I mean, I think it's all the above makes a great defender. Like, you're going to have all that in your game. You're going to be able to chase down some blocks. You're going to be able to get some rebounds on the defensive end. You're going to be able to get your hand in the cookie jar every once in a while. You're going to be able to stand in front of somebody, and it might only be your position that you can stand in front of, but you're going to be able to lock somebody down and keep them from producing the same.
Erase your guy.
Erase your guy. Yep.
That to me, that's all world defense. Erase your guy. Michael Jordan did it two-way style. That's when you're talking about two-way style. I'm not going to – you put up 24 a game, and this night you're not. Mitch Richmond, very, very good score. When he went up against Jordan, forget about that 25.
Now
you can forget about it.
To home team's point, I think it's always usually a big man because he's not just erasing his guy. He's erasing all guys.
Right.
Yeah, but see, again, that's correct. But they also added – you name a big guy that's named it – defensive MVP – that they don't consider rebounding a part of the defense. So they're also averaging 12, 11 rebounds a game as well.
They're cleaning the glass.
They're cleaning the glass. So that way it happens at that point too. So I agree. I just want Hunter to be able to say, hey, don't worry about him.
Yeah.
And I think that can happen with DeAndre Hunter from 1 all the way to, I wouldn't get carried away of saying the 4, but definitely 1 through 3. For instance, if John Collins played on the another team, and he was there for.
I can see Hunter trying to hold up with him. Yeah,
me too. Uh-huh. Me too.
And depending on the lineup you roll out there, because in the league 9 days you play a lot of small ball, it could extend to the 4.
Yes,
I'm saying. Yeah, it's going to extend to the 4.
So I think it just depends on, all of that encompasses, your footwork, your will, all that. I think you ball all that into a ball, you can have a pretty dope defender for their career.
All right, that'll do it for episode 30 of the Drop Step Podcast. Make sure you download the podcast. You go to the gym to work out, get on the treadmill, get on the elliptical machine, get up under the weight rack. Throw in the podcast, Drop Step Podcast. You can find it, Shaq Fu Radio. I want to say shout out to those folks. And you can download the podcast on the iTunes platform, Spotify as well, for Houston, for B-Dog, for College Football Hall of Famer, Super Bowl champ, Joe Hamilton. I'm a home team. We'll see you next time on the Drop Step Podcast.
We out.
Way too fast.
Hey, y'all, we got plenty of ways for y'all to check us out, so make sure that you go subscribe on either Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, or even Shaq Fu Radio, which plays our podcast every Wednesday and Saturday night. You can also catch us on the YouTube channels for the Drop Set Podcast, 680 The Fan, and Atlanta Sports X. And last but not least, make sure you check out the Drop Step on IG, Twitter, and Facebook.